Lady Gaga here at 92.9, 17 past 7 in the Love Game on this Tuesday morning. JB here, thanks to Nathan and the team at Country Autos, GWM Havel. My friend on the weekend, he went skydiving over in Coffs Harbour. He finally manned up enough to go and do it. He'd be crapping on for years about how he wanted to do skydiving, and then he'd go and buy a ticket and he'd wimp out and wuss out. Even, you know, his wife would go and buy a ticket for him, and as she was walking to go off and buy it, he'd go, no, it's all right, no. So finally on the weekend, he rang me on Sunday afternoon and said he'd finally done it. I went, really? His wife could vouch that he did indeed set foot out of the plane, and he loved it. He said it was amazing. It was an incredible experience, and he'd love to do it again. And I said, everyone says that about skydiving. Every single person I know that's done skydiving always says, oh, I do it again. Oh, it was so good. I do it again. If I was rich, I'd do it all the time. I do it a weekly basis. I do it daily. I'd become a skydiving instructor. I do it all the time. If money was no issue, I'd be skydiving constantly. And I was just wondering, is there anyone out there that's ever gone skydiving and actually not wanted to do it again? Because I'm yet to meet someone that's actually had that happen. I want someone honest to go, you know what? I did skydiving. It was good. I'm not going to knock it. It was good. Would I do it again? Nah. Done it once. Won't bother doing it again. Yet to meet that person. If that's you, if you've done skydiving, and that's a caveat in this, you have to have done skydiving. There's people out there that I know to answer this question go, oh, I want to do skydiving. No, you have to have done skydiving before. And you'd go, you know what, JB, it was good. Probably wouldn't bother with it again. I'd love to see if those type of people out there actually do indeed exist. Anyone out there? 676-2299 or on our Facebook page. You've done skydiving. You've lived to tell the tale. You enjoyed it. Maybe you didn't enjoy it, but you enjoyed it, but you know, wouldn't bother doing it again. 676-2299 or on our Facebook page. We'll see if they're actually out there. Anyone? Box 20, long day here at 92.9, 18 past 8, of course, day one of AgQuip. Keep that in mind, fair bit of traffic congestion going on around Gunnedah today, of course, for day one of AgQuip. No doubt that will subside as the day progresses and maybe as the days go on as well. 18 past 8, JB here this morning. Thanks, Country Autos, GWM, Havel. Bridge Street, West Tamworth. Businesses charging cancellation fees. Yay or nay? I've noticed a little bit of an observation over the last couple of weeks, that as you know, things have come back to somewhat of a normality, although I still don't get 100% comfortable saying that, but as things go back to a little bit of normality with COVID, I have noticed that those cancellation fees, which a lot of the time got waived during the pandemic, have started coming back on for businesses. Just wondering if you think that's a good idea, a yay or a nay for those ones. And nice and polarizing with this, to be honest with you. Very valid arguments from both point of views on our Facebook page. Jane said it depends on the business and the time frames. If someone doesn't show up for an appointment and is definitely a repeat offender, then of course make them pay for the missed appointment. A first timer, then maybe not. Cancellation charges for appointments within 24 hours is reasonable, unless an emergency. Jason also saying repeat offenders for sure. Not showing up for bookings cost businesses money and other possible income. But then Kiri, she's going with nay. When a business cancels on a customer, there is no compensation. Sometimes people have taken time off work, paid for childcare, travel, accommodation, and if they cancel on you as a customer, you get nothing. I avoid them. Lots of competition around to get the exact same service. Interesting perspectives there from Kiri. I hadn't thought of that. 676-2299 tonight or on our Facebook page. What do you think about businesses charging for cancellations? Fair enough, or do you go elsewhere?
See the light, see solar bright. With power prices surging.
A cafe coffee with someone, chatting about what's going on locally, nationally, or internationally. Or something a little different. It's the McCafe Coffee Break.
AgQuip is back. Kate Nugent from ACM Events. Congratulations, Kate. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. The feeling is just amazing to know that this is it. We're back after 2 years of hibernation, and of course, just to feel that sense of optimism, that anticipation. Our exhibitors have just been overwhelmed with joy as they have traversed Australia and converged on Gunnedah to be a part of AgQuip 22.
Yeah, phenomenal to see this one get off the ground again after, as you said, 2 years of not being able to do it. And it's the 50th next year, I understand.
Yes, it is, JB. So we're on that countdown from this AgQuip to our 50th in 23. And, of course, there is just a great sense of celebration with this Aon AgQuip with regard to those... the exhibitors, they were in early, JB. They arrived early in preparation for the next 3 days. And it has been big, it's bold. The plant and equipment that has been transported right across Australia to be here and to obviously showcase what will be over 3,000 agri brands and suppliers.
Yeah, it's just absolutely incredible. How much does this bring to our local economy, AgQuip?
Look, it in fact is extraordinary because this is an event that is ploughing $40-odd million into just this immediate region, And then just to know, we've got over $155 million value of products and services on site. So this is Australia's biggest, and we are so proud to be able to welcome back our visitors and, of course, our exhibitors.
Yeah, how many visitors, roughly, does AgQuip get each year, Kate, roughly?
JB, we've had over 100,000 over the 3 days, and certainly it is still our expectation, as we have for many months, in fact, over the year, been receiving calls from our potential visitors to the event. And look, we've had reports in of those that have made their way in caravans and campers and, of course, the youths. We are a city of youths and it's just great to see as our car parks continue to fill this morning here at Aon AgQuip.
Yeah, and I mean, the other cool thing is, of course, we've got the night quip back again this year as well, this evening, that one taking place throughout Gunnedah.
Oh, JB, look, that's an amazing support from Gunnedah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
an initiative of the Gunnedah Shire Council, and it is most important because it is, you know, welcoming our exhibitors, but certainly it's that recognition of that AgQuip extends beyond these three big days. It is that power of the drawing power, that fact that we can showcase Gunnedah, and our retailers of Gunnedah are going to be out in full force tonight in Conadilly Street, our main street of Gunnedah. So it really is an amazing support, and again, as said, a welcome to all the stakeholders associated with Aon AgQuip.
And some precautions this year as well for, of course, the hand and mouth disease, which is on our doorstep in Indonesia.
Yes. Look, it's been very important to us as Field Day event organisers that we do offer that understanding. It's a raising awareness and caution. We take it very seriously, our responsibility as event organisers. We're a very, very important part of the Australian primary industry. And so the foot and mouth disease, certainly, as we know, was identified in Indonesia in May and Bali in July. And so we've considered it just part of our duty of care to ensure that everyone, that raise of awareness about foot and mouth disease, and certainly anyone that's been travelling in those countries and returning, we're just asking for that caution and understanding that we here at AgQuip are all about, you know, a protection of our primary industry.
Hey, Kay, thank you so much for having a chat with us this morning. I know how busy you are for day one of AgQuip, and all the best with this year. And, of course, I look forward to chatting you over the next 12 months as you head towards the all-important 50th. Very exciting.
And our big thanks and shout-out to Radio 2DM 92.9. and, of course, our radio here in Gunnedah. We're just very, very grateful, JB, for the amazing support. TM was there at the beginning.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly, that's it. Roughly, while we're talking statistics as well, do you have any statistics on how many steak sandwiches get consumed each year there? It would be up in the billions, wouldn't it?
I'll be looking forward to giving you that report from this year, but it is phenomenal. And I was informed the other day by one of our livestock breeders that it's 6 months ago they ordered the meat.
Six months ago.
So that's the kind of preparation that happens, obviously, for our crib. So we're looking forward to one of those famous steak sandwiches.
Yeah. Hey, look, they always taste better at AgQuip. Kate, thank you so much for your time. Thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you so much, mate. Thank you.
10 to 8 here at 92.9.
I'm Carlo Cavallaro. Shop at any of my 5 AGA locations and you'll save with bargains like this.
That is Dermot Kennedy here at 92.9, Something to Someone, 8:41. Time to chat with Cheryl Brown, the Country Music Coordinator at Tamworth Regional Council. Morning, Cheryl. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
No dramas at all. My absolute pleasure. Star Maker, hard to believe it is back, and the entries are open now. They're going to close in, what, about 14 days?
That's right, around the 1st of September, unless we decide to extend it. But no, we're not extending. The 1st of September.
That's it.
We close, and it's the 43rd Star Maker in January 2023. We're so excited.
Yeah, it's just a phenomenal history to this thing. I mean, some big, big names in country music have come through Star Maker over the years.
They really have, JB. You know, we can say that Keith Urban basically has gone through the stratosphere. He won in 1990, and how lucky do we feel that we were a very, very small part of his career. Well, in fact, he does acknowledge us as being a very big part of the stepping stone from Australia over to America, because when he did win in 1990, the following year he won a golden guitar, and then 11 years later he had his first great hit over in America. So it's pretty extraordinary, and we were very lucky to have him as part of that. And of course we've got Lee Kernaghan as one of our winners, James Blundell, who changed the face of country music when he came through country music, Samantha McClymont from McClymont. We've got some of the new ones include Brad Cox, Blake O'Connor, Kirsty Lee Akers, of course, which was some time ago, Kaylee Bell, who's doing so very well in country music. We're thrilled that they're all doing so well. And this year's winner, and when I say this year, it was in April when she won, Max Jackson from Newcastle, who's just been such a delight to work with.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. She's done exceptional things, that's for sure, and has a very bright future ahead of her. Now, if you are interested in entering, how do you go about doing it?
Well, on the starmaker.com.au website, the conditions of entry are there, and it's pretty simple to read through what is there and then enter with two songs. Look, we're looking for somebody who's really passionate about country music, who's ready to take the next step in their career. We're not a cookie cutter, JB. We've had, if you have a look at the country music artists that we've been involved with, we've had country folk, we've had serious traditional country music, we've had country pop and country rock. So, you know, we're not looking for any one thing, but we are looking for somebody who stands out in the top 10 on the night of Star Maker, which happens in January. So go to the website, starmaker.com.au, all the information's there, and we can't wait for the entrance to roll in. So if you know somebody, even if it's not somebody in Tamworth, it might be some friends you've had stay or you've heard of somebody, let them know about it. We'd love to hear from them.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And what do you win if you take out Star Maker on the night, apart from obviously being able to perform there in the final concert in the park in January, which is pretty cool on its own, but what do you get?
You're absolutely right. The original prize was just having the name, the Star Maker winner of the year, and that's something that they take with them for the rest of their life, and we're always pulling that out for everybody.
Yeah,
and 40 years since Lee Kernaghan won, of course, and they win a car now and a fuel card. Take them around around Australia or wherever they want to tour for the year.
Wow.
So they get that for the whole year. They don't get that forever, but they do get it for the year. And it's fantastic for them. They do get to go on a lot of festivals that we have lovely arrangements with. Chris Watson Travel here in Tamworth, he sponsors a trip over to Nashville.
Wow.
They get to perform in the CMA as part of the festival on the international showcase. And Max this year got to songwrite with Phil Bartlett, who's an ex-Australian, expat living over there. And Kylie Sackley, who's one of the biggest songwriters ever in America, was a Star Maker winner in 2000. And Max actually wrote a song with her and Phil Barton, and you might hear that on the new EP coming out in January.
That's awesome. That's a sensational prize pack. I hope for the Star Maker organisers' sake that all the former winners didn't come out of the woodworks asking for their car and year fuel card once that came in. Hopefully you had some ironclad T's and C's back in the day. Especially with the price of fuel.
I think they're all in the filing cabinets out there at
2 p.m. Touché. Oh, I'll put some more junk in front of them out in the shed.
Please do.
Hey, Cheryl. Awesome to chat. Thank you so much for your insights, and always a pleasure to see what happens with this one every year when it rolls around. Thank you so much.
And thanks for your support. We're so grateful.
8:46 here at 92.9. 6:23, that is a big Bruno Mars and Gorillaz. I never actually realized how the album version of that song is so filthy and explicit until one day I accidentally played it on the radio, which is the only time I've ever been caught out doing that. It was at another radio station, not here, and I was paneling an outside broadcast or doing something or other anyway, and we fell short for the hour before we clocked off. So, you know, it was JB's picks. We'd ran out of music. The music director does all the music and stuff, so it's very rare that the announcer gets to pick the songs that they play. So that was a new song at the time, so I thought, you know what, I'll just put in Bruno Mars's Gorillaz, and that will finish things up very nicely. And while I had the time, I'll run out and get a coffee. So I've whacked the song in, ran out and got a coffee. My phone's ringing and ringing and ringing. I answer it, my mobile phone, that is, and it's the big boss, the head gorilla. And he's gone, JB, do you realize what you're playing on air at the moment? I've gone, no. And he's gone, I'm listening in the car, and it is filthy language for a Saturday afternoon while the kids are out playing sports and that kind of thing. Can you please turn it off? I've ran down to the studio and there it is. It's all sorts of filthy language coming out of Bruno Mars's mouth. And I realized I put the album version in, not the radio edit. Which I said to the boss, do you think it's wise putting, you know, explicit songs in the system to start with anyway? But, you know, he's the boss, so I was never going to win that argument, hey. 6:25 here at 92.9. Only I kind of make those mistakes once. Maybe. Touch wood. What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like that.